From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Just weeks after the Declaration of Independence had been signed, George Washington's ragtag Continental Army confronted an immense British military force. Washington needed to retreat from Brooklyn into Manhattan, but how to buy time to do it? 400 young fighters from Maryland engaged the Redcoats to give cover to the escaping Americans.
They attached their bayonets and they charged them at their center, got within 10 yards of where Cornwallis ended up being, and then they were beaten back. They attacked a total of 6 times.
Author Chris Format blends historic facts with inference about emotions and motivations. His novel is Saving Washington, the forgotten story of the Maryland 400 and the Battle of Brooklyn. It's on the record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Throughout history, until recent decades, wars have been fought by young men, young like teenagers, maybe early 20s. It was certainly true of America's rebellion against Britain, even though most of the images we have depict staid, even portly military leaders with powdered wigs. When Baltimore author Chris Format heard about the Maryland 400, the intrepid fighters from Baltimore whose valor rescued the Revolutionary Army in the summer of 1776, he wanted to make their story come alive in the most vivid way possible. He wanted us to see it through the eyes of young men. What would motivate young men to fight and die for a revolution the history books tell us was a dispute about tariffs and taxes? Format's answer runs through his historical novel, Saving Washington, the forgotten story of the Maryland 400 and the Battle of Brooklyn. Chris Format is here with me. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you, Sheila.
I've got to get this off my chest.
Okay.
How can you call the Maryland 400 forgotten when historians have chronicled the battle, when there's a reenactment and parade every August in Brooklyn, when the Maryland State Archives has a project tracking down details about the men who fought? What do you mean by forgotten?
Well, the Maryland archivist has a project because no one knows about them. And if you ask people in Maryland, few people have ever heard of them. People who live around Prospect Park in Brooklyn have heard of them. But when I first stumbled upon this story, and I stumbled upon it in a rather serendipitous way, I would ask everyone I knew up in New York and in Maryland, and no one had ever heard of them before.
So, okay, catch us up. Who were the Maryland 400?
Well, the Maryland 400 was a subset of the Maryland Regiment, the first Maryland Regiment that was crafted by combining 3 militias from Annapolis, Frederick, and Baltimore into the first Maryland Regiment that stood in the Continental Army.
And tell us, in a nutshell, why you say the Maryland 400 saved Washington.
Maybe if I could back up for a second and explain how I stumbled upon the story, because therein's a little bit of the nugget as to why I think they were so important. About 3 or 4 years ago, I saw a 1-paragraph announcement in the paper, it's Baltimore Sun, announcing a wreath-laying ceremony in Prospect Park, Brooklyn, that was being dedicated to the bravery and heroism of a Maryland regiment who fought August 27th, 1776. And it kind of caught my eye. But what really caught my eye was the caption. It said, "The Maryland 400 who saved America." I'd never heard of these guys. So I Googled them, just do what any of us would do. I Googled them, and I started seeing bits and pieces, many conflicting stories. And I started just digging a little bit more. I do write. I'm a fiction writer. You know, I'm not a historian. But I dug a little bit more, and this unbelievable story of human sacrifice and devotion kind of, you know, unfolded for me. And the more I dug, the more I thought, well, wait a second, this story, and ask everyone I knew, And no one had ever heard about it. And I said, this really is a story that needs to be told. And I wanted to tell it in a different way than a history story in order to try to attract a broad cross-section of readers.
You still haven't told me why you say they saved Washington.
Because they did. Because they did. In the Battle of Brooklyn. Let me sort of set the scene because it's fairly dramatic. In the spring, the British were pushed out of New England by the Continental Army. We finally got the upper hand. So that spring and early summer, Parliament, King George were royally upset. I mean, they had had it with this revolt, with this uprising, and they wanted to put an end to it. So they budgeted and deployed the largest armada in the history of the world, 475 boats, 30,000 British regulars, thousands of seamen, and Hessians that were rumored to be paid by body count. They were guns for hire, German mercenaries. Their intention was to sail into New York Harbor, block the economic engine of the colonies, capture Washington, destroy the Continental Army, and restore what they considered normalcy and occupy a number of the major cities. So Washington had no choice but to try to meet him at the time. The army from New England came down, met up with a number of the regiments who came up from the South to meet in New York. The Maryland Regiment was part of that. Part of the regiments from Virginia, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and Maryland. So they were part of that. Within the actual battle took place on the 27th, within hours, Washington was surrounded to the east, the south, the west. In fact, they were so outmaneuvered that the Continental Army thought they were winning for a while, but it was just a feigned attack. To give them time to encircle them and come around from behind them. So within by late afternoon on August 27th, the question for Washington was not should he try to escape or should he try to retreat from this, but could he? Because his only option, his only route of retreat was across the East River, and there were 475 ships blocking it. And everyone knew that it was unlikely that Washington could get everyone out. Time was running out. He was commandeering whatever would float to get across the East River.
So it's late August. Washington's army turns out to be entirely surrounded by this huge British mm-hmm. force. Washington has to figure out not just whether to retreat, but how to
Could
do
he?
It.
Could he? Yeah.
And what role did the Maryland 400 play in that?
The Maryland 400 were ordered to bring up the rear, to be the rear guard. And so they quickly realized, as most of the soldiers did, that not everyone was going to get out and that someone needed to buy them time. So Mordecai Gist did what in
Mordecai Gist was the commander
Mordecai Gist
of the
was
Maryland
Colonel
Regiment.
Mordecai Gist was the commander and I think the hero of the regiment, ordered what was unfathomable. He turned the Maryland 400 toward the center of a British war force that's been estimated anywhere from 12,000 to 20,000. So you take your pick, but it was very orders of multiple above.
And he has a few hundred men.
He's got a little over 400. They ordered some to go with the retreat. So there are 400 left. And sensing that the British commander was at the center, he saw something which clued him in on that. He ordered an attack. They attached their bayonets. They were the only group in the Continental Army at that time that had bayonets. The British didn't know they did. And they charged them at their center, got within 10 yards of where Cornwallis ended up being. Okay,
the British general.
The British general. And then they were beaten back. But instead of just running and retreating, they reformed and attacked again. They attacked a total of 6 times. Complete suicide mission. Only 8 of them walked out, 2/3 were killed, and 70-some-odd were captured or wounded.
That's author Chris Format here on The Record on WYPR. On Tuesday, In the Pratt Library's Writers Live series, he'll be discussing his book Saving Washington, The Forgotten Story of the Maryland 400 and the Battle of Brooklyn. I'm interested in the psychology you portray, how the colonial commanders motivated these young Maryland men to keep attacking against ridiculous odds. Tell us how you envisioned that and how you wrote that.
Well, I think it starts with George Washington. You know, George Washington he felt he was touched by the divine. So this was something that they had a divine purpose they had to do. He infused that in a lot of his military staff. And he did something and they did something. It wasn't just an event where you try to get people up for it and rah-rah and go. Every day they would read them excerpts from the Declaration of Independence, letters from home, reminded them as great corporate leaders, politicians, they were on message all the time, reminded them every day what they were fighting for. And Mordecai Gist was, you know, in 21st century eyes, he was a fanatic. He was absolutely a liberty and freedom fanatic, so much so that he named his two sons Independent and States. So that's the guy who's leading him. So this guy is the first freedom fighter, if you will, instilled that kind of devotion. And you layer on top of that this religious undertone where they thought that they were doing God's work and they had to.
Tell us how you researched this historical novel.
I did what most people would start doing. I went on the web and started collecting information. Many of it contradicted itself, you know, and so I found that there was a repetition of some of the same inaccurate descriptions of the battle and this event. So I enlisted the help of the Army War College, and I went up and talked to their chief historian and the commandant. I described what I wanted to do, described the story. The commandant, who had just left Afghanistan to take over the Army War College, had never heard of it. And the historian confirmed it. When I told him that their remains were scattered in unmarked graves under the streets of Brooklyn, they sort of opened their archives for me, and they were thrilled to do that. I was able to review maps that aren't publicly available. I got a copy of a manuscript of a book that was written about 75, 80 years after the event, by a historian that you can't buy anywhere. It's just a copy of a manuscript that described it in much more detail. And that's who I quote in the opening of the book, Thomas Field, who called it in that, as I was reading it, there was one line that jumped out at me where he called that moment, that the Maryland 400's mission, the most precious hour in American history.
The most precious hour.
When I read that and I started sort of tearing up reading that, I said, I have to write this, and I have to write this in a way that's historically accurate, but also takes some liberty so I can attract young readers into this.
We're talking with Chris Forment about his novel Saving Washington. Quick pause in our conversation, and when we're back, we'll talk about the diversity of those young Maryland fighters. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay tuned.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. We may think life moves fast today, but events were hurtling past in the summer of 1776. Just 6 weeks after the Declaration of Independence was signed, Maryland soldiers played a crucial role in the biggest battle of the Revolutionary War. Baltimore author Chris Forment traces the forces, events, and emotions of that summer in his novel Saving Washington, The Forgotten Story of the Maryland 400 and the Battle of Brooklyn. You tell wonderful details of how the battle ensued, and many of the characters in your book actually existed, but you created the ones we get to know best. Tell us about Joshua Bolton.
Well, one of the things, I had an epiphany when I started writing this, and I decided first not to write a historical novel, because I've taken some liberty with the facts here, and conflated a number of instances. But I decided to tell it through the eyes of two teenagers, because teenagers fight wars. And so I created two personalities and their families. Everyone else in the book, the spies, the military leaders on both sides, locations, everything, are all actual events. But created two individuals, one a teenage white man and the other an African American, a free African American. Because what I found in my research when I started going through pension records, there wasn't anything at the that the Maryland archivist had. There wasn't anything I picked up in the historical research, so I decided at the urging of the Army War College, who helped me with my research, decided to look at the pension records. And I found at least three African Americans that were part of this regiment. So, and that's been lost in history, so I wanted to put that in. I made one of the main characters African American so we could see and understand his motivation for enlisting and what he was fighting for.
And this question of motivation, why did these young men fight so hard?
Yeah, I mean, the motivation for enlisting is one set of things, and it's probably similar to why all young men or women may enlist in the armed forces. But to think that 400 young men, essentially teenagers, would go on a suicide mission for what I was taught in school, which was a tax revolt, Boston Tea Party, taxation without representation. What I found in the research was that the merchants, the wealthy merchants, underwrote the war. There wasn't a standing army. So for them, taxes, and for the wealthy, taxes were a big deal. Okay, but when you started, when I started probing into what would motivate the young people, certainly some of the rabble-rousers, certainly the anti-British sentiment, but to go on a suicide mission, there had to have been something more virtuous. There was a religious undertone here that you don't pick up, you don't read about in the books. The New World was code. I was always taught, hey, you know, Europeans came to the America because it was the New World, and so they could have different kinds of freedoms. The New World was code for the New Jerusalem, and that had been going on for generations in America. So on Saturdays and on Sundays, and there was a strong Old Testament upbringing to a lot of the young people at that time, they were taught that they were God's children, that these were immoral leaders, it was against God's will, and that they were required and destined to create this new world, this new Jerusalem. And so they were fighting for something that was much more profound than taxes. They were fighting to establish or to maintain, you know, a way of life and a freedom that they thought God wanted them to. And it was, you know, I was surprised when I started uncovering this line of reasoning, compared it, shared it with a number of military historians, and they confirmed that that was the emotion at the time.
So the first third or so of the book basically takes place in Fells Point.
Fells Point in Baltimore, yeah.
How do you envision these young people becoming aware of what's going on and figuring out what they thought of it?
Well, Baltimore was a small town. At the time, but a very vibrant city, a very economically. So there were people coming from the north and south, from across the ocean. So a lot of trade. It was one of the central trade areas, and so they were getting exposed to a lot of ideas. And Mordecai Gist, who who led the Maryland 400 into battle, Colonel, had established in 1775 something called the Baltimore Cadets. And even though the revolutionary fervor was up in New England, there were 70-some-odd merchant sons, actually wealthy kids, who created the Baltimore Cadets, trained themselves, and many of them went up to fight in New England or down to Charleston. So they actually volunteered for it. And also you had a lot of the speakers, the rabble-rousers, some of the Congregationalist ministers from New England that would come down. And then the Maryland Gazette at the time was a pretty inflammatory paper, and it became, you know, one of the heartbeats of the revolutionary movement at the time.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Chris Format about what inspired young Maryland recruits to fight to the death in the Battle of Brooklyn. His novel is titled Saving Washington. On August 27th, General Washington is watching through his spyglass from his headquarters in Manhattan, mm-hmm. what's going on in Brooklyn. He can see these Maryland men regrouping and attacking and attacking again. He sees them being annihilated, and it's reported that he cried.
Yes.
Did it affect the way Washington fought the rest of the war?
Yes. Yes, it did. And Washington was not an experienced soldier, but he wasn't an experienced military leader. But he was smart enough, and the men around him were smart enough to know that they couldn't fight the Napoleonic type of full frontal attack war of attrition and just line up and hope for the best. So it was at that point that he realized, and a couple of ensuing battles also, he realized that he had to fight a different way. And so they started more of the guerrilla type tactics. The other thing that the Continental Army, that the Maryland and Pennsylvania regiments had, that were the most feared soldiers and weaponry in the Revolutionary War, were the sharpshooters with the Pennsylvania long rifles. And so I point that out in my book, The Men from Western Maryland or Western Pennsylvania. The British were scared to death of them, and so were the Hessians, because unlike normal muskets that have an effective range of maybe 10 yards, you know, and they just spray all over the place, the Pennsylvania long rifle had an extended, this was an extended rifle that was probably a foot to maybe a foot and a half longer than a normal musket. So these long riflemen, sharpshooters, could hit the British from a couple hundred yards away. And the British had no antidote for it. And so the Pennsylvania and Maryland riflemen would sit up and pick off the officers. And so Washington saw what was happening. He established rifle corps after that with the same type of riflemen. And that, in combination with this guerrilla tactic, was something that the British, it confounded them, because they were scared to death of the riflemen. But it confounded them because there was nothing in their training or upbringing or strategy or tactics that was a defense against that kind of guerrilla war.
Saving Washington has been optioned to be made into a film?
Yes. Yeah, it's been optioned by Greg Feinberg. They optioned it before the first publication. They optioned it on the original draft that hadn't been completely edited at the time. And they told me that it brought them to tears.
So is that project moving along? I mean,
don't know. I've never done a film, so we'll see. I hope so.
It's a terrific book. Thanks for telling
us
about
it.
Chris Format's new historical novel is Saving Washington, the forgotten story of the Maryland 400 and the Battle of Brooklyn. On Saturday, he'll be at the Barnes & Noble in Frederick at Francis Scott Key Mall on Buckeystown Road at 11 a.m. And next Tuesday, as part of the Pratt Library's Writers Live series, he'll speak at the Maryland State Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, 415 Park Avenue. That starts at 6:30. Format will also be in Brooklyn a week from Sunday, August 25th, to speak in the annual commemoration of the battle at Greenwood Cemetery. At the On the Record page at WYPR.org, we've got links to information about those events and others. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Hope you'll be back with us on the record tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.